Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
Going on, y'all, and thank you so very much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale, and as always, sitting in studio, being a menace, Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in Skeleton Studios after coming back from a fun time with my brud
at
the Texas State Fair.
Man, that was a good time.
It was. I enjoy it. Me and my wife, we go every
my
year.
My wife.
We always go the week before the Texas OU game. That seems to be like the peak of the fair. That's when all the vendors are there. And we have a lot of, we have a great time.
Oh, yeah.
It's way more fun than when we used to take the kids and drop all that money on the Midway. When it's me and my wife, we can walk around and look at stuff that, you know, we'll never be able to afford, but it's fun to look at them. We saw all kinds of cool Sprinter vans. We saw some overlanding trucks.
Oh,
we
yeah.
saw all the new models. We saw the new Land Cruiser. Lots of fun. There's a lot of food there now. I don't eat as much of that fair food as I did when I was younger, but it's neat
to
see.
We had high aspirations driving over.
That's
all of us
was
sitting there, boy. We had been online. We had seen what it was. We all got there. And I think we each tried we only got two things, split it amongst all four of us, but we only got two things. We tried that. And then it was like the longer we were there and smelled all that fried food, the more you're like, bro, I'm not doing this.
Yeah, because you know what's going to happen to you.
You're
right?
Like, no, I don't want to feel terrible.
Yeah, and they fry
it
everything.
Was awesome.
Some of the stuff, I don't even know how they fry it. Like they had, listen, they have fried butter.
They had fried water.
Yeah, they did, right? It's just like, and I was goofing all around, and I'd been find people, and I'd go, hey, where do we go to pet the dolphins?
Yeah,
and they'd
yeah.
look at me like, what? Like, I heard there was dolphin petting.
Two dozen people. If they were working there and looked somewhat serious, they were asked the question, can you point me in the direction where I can go pet a dolphin?
Yeah, because they have all kinds of things, but they don't have that. But it would confuse people, because then you could tell they'd walk off. They were thinking to themselves.
Maybe on the radio, is there a place we have to go pet a dolphin?
Yeah, maybe there is dolphins. I want to get some fried butter and pet a dolphin.
That's all I'm here to do. Hey, it was great weather. It
Perfect.
Was good times. I hadn't been over there since, like I had told you, the seventh grade was the last time
Damn.
I think I'd been there. So it had changed a little.
See, that's too long.
A little bit. Yeah. Man, it was a good time. We parked in a great spot. Old boy picked us up in a golf cart.
Yeah.
Took us to the... Dude, it was great. It was a great trip.
You think you'll go again?
100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
100%.
Cool. Also, I got to... Luke dragged me to a movie theater in Lake Worth.
Now,
to
this was
watch a movie that
this was your favorite one you've gone to see with him so far, isn't it?
No, I'm forever changed though. The movie we went and saw was Terrifier 3. Now, I didn't know anything about the series. I've just watched Terrifier 2 like a week ago with Luke at my house. It was one of those deals where I was like half paying attention, but not really into it. So we went to this movie.
I'm forever changed.
I've never seen anything like it. It literally is just merciless, gory, the goriest killing you can possibly do.
So you should.
And I don't even understand the plot. Like it just goes from one kill scene to the next kill scene. I don't know. It's 2 hours long. I still don't know what I watched.
Sounds pretty awesome.
It doesn't make any sense. Like 1 minute he's got this hammer and he breaks the girl's hands.
Spoiler alert.
I mean, just like destroys her hands. And 5 minutes later, she's fighting him with a sword. I'm like, well, how is she holding the sword?
She's tough.
I guess so. Anyways, Luke loved it. And to my surprise, I'm the odd one out. The theater was packed. People were cheering. They were yelling at the screen. I'm like, man, Am I out of my element?
You had to go to the restroom and then just wait it outside.
You know what Luke does? And he used to do this a lot as a little kid, but he hasn't grown out of it. The whole time we're watching a movie, he's watching me. He just wants to see my reaction to what's happening. And I don't understand that. He used to do that when he's kid. He had his little tablet.
I bet you broke him of that this film. Now he's like, yeah, Dad, don't need to go there.
Luke likes you to watch me watch. That's what he likes to do. But
well, you like to have people watch you eat, don't you?
No.
Oh.
No. And he's got a few more movies planned for the rest of the month, so I'm not sure what the next one. What was the one he wanted me to watch the other day? And I just flat out told him after Terrifier 3, no, bud. You got to give me a break. I'm like, man. I don't even like horror.
But aren't you going to go see the new John Carpenter's The Thing?
Yes, we are. That's on the 22nd.
Ooh, that's going to be
because my wife's never seen it. She's never seen that movie. And I'm like, oh, man, you're you're in for it.
This is a good one.
But that's what we've been doing.
This is a good one.
Luke went and got him a Terrifier 3 t-shirt at Spirit Halloween to wear to the screening of it. And I heard that the company, so Spirit Halloween is actually owned by the same company that used to own Spencer's.
Oh, good on them.
And I think they're starting a Christmas store, and it's going to be called, instead of Spirit Halloween, it's just called Christmas Spirit.
Oh,
but
nice.
I believe I read that it's only going to be in the Northeast. Like, it's not going to be down here, so.
Well, drats.
Right? I know everybody was hitting me up with messages about the Aurora Borealis. I pray for all the people down in Florida.
Oh.
And I saw another tropical storm is heading their way. Like, it's, man, it's bad.
Everybody affected, man. It is terrible.
I mean, we got the flooding up in Asheville. We talked to Micah. He's okay.
Yeah.
And we got lots of friends down in Florida, too. And a lot of them they're all okay that I spoke to. Some of them were without power.
Yeah.
But they're okay.
And that is just so awful.
It's just a crazy 2024. We're going to look back.
The last few years have been crazy.
It's just crazy.
It's been completely crazy. Speaking of crazy.
Yeah.
You and I have always talked about wanting to get into hunting mushrooms.
Yeah. Like I need to purchase a truffle pig.
Right. And so there's.
I don't know where you get
that. I don't know where you get that. I need one of those.
You know what I'm talking about.
I don't think we get it's not as good a mushroom hunting down here as it is in other states, but it would still be fun. But this jumped out at me, and I think you're going to enjoy this. A mushroom hunter observed a gnome walking through the woods.
Okay, tell me more.
Get a load of this. I'll be the first to admit I thought these types of sightings were a joke and not real, and I've never been able to take them seriously. I'm an outdoorsman, and I have been for 35 years. I grew up in the woods. I memorize trees for mushroom hunting for a living. I know every brook, stream, bush, berry grove, log, you name it, because of this. And I want to keep my location private. I'm on a forest road and not a soul in sight. I gather some mushrooms and look up the road to see a rock has fallen from the loose, steep side of the mountain down to the middle of the road. I mentally note that I have to move it and not drive over it. So I gather my mushrooms and get back to the car. I look up and I see what appears to be a 2 to 2.5 foot tall little brown thing walking from the side of the road over to the rock. My first logical thought is, well, it's a squirrel. But I see it's walking on two legs, appears to be wearing brown cloth or fur clothes, and is shaped like a human but very tiny. It's not scurrying either. It's ambling on two legs like a human would. Just casually walking like this is some normal, regular thing, like the monotonous work it does for a living. I don't believe my lying eyes. It has to be something else. I get back in the car and head up the road to see that the rock has been pushed back to the side of the road from whence it came. It had fallen off the hill, rolled to my left, and then was sitting back on the other side of the road on the right. There are drag marks like something slid it back. I look, I smell, I sense, I listen. Nothing. I don't know where the gnomes live, but the old partially logged section where I was looking looked pretty perfect for a clan of these things. Lots of places to hide, secluded, near water, plenty of route of escape, and would be easy to dig little holes in the mountain and be fortified against invaders. The side road into which was flooded and appears to do so regularly, so these little guys even have their own moat. I'm positive I'm overthinking this, and it was a long drive back up the mountain, then down the mountain the other way, and sometimes home, And I can't pick this apart into anything else but being a tiny little forest man. I'm like 1,000% positive that I saw exactly what I saw. Now, it was near a military special interest zone, allegedly blocked off due to some native butterflies. But I'm starting to wonder if this research area is really about butterflies after all. See, they send you to prison, ban you from the parks, and give you a $5,000 fine if you take a single berry from inside that boundary. S.
Wow. That's a stiff crime.
Well, now penalty, don't eat what the fae grows.
Yeah, they always warn you don't take food and drink from the fae.
What would be more unsettling, knowing that the fae were there or knowing that the fae were there, the military knew, and they just had all these places secluded off for it?
I don't know, but both of those would make excellent movies.
Right? 100%
that sounds awesome.
Would.
I hope that that's real.
Yeah, right? 100%.
Yes. I'd love to find out that there is this secret area up in Washington State. The government knows about it, and we don't let people go in there because we don't know.
It's full of gnomes.
Full of gnomes, right? Speaking of gnomes, check this out. It says, my fiance and I took a 3-day trip to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, spending our days in the mountains, hiking and spending time in and around the national park. On the last night, at around midnight, trying to get all the time in the mountains we can, we decided to take an hour's drive from our hotel room up the mountain to an overview lookout type of spot right on top of said mountain to see if we can catch an awesome look at the stars, because there's a lot of lights in Gatlinburg at night. Driving up there, neither of us noticed literally anything off other than the mountain winds were a little spooky at night. We're from Florida, so it's just unfamiliar to us. But as soon as we got to where we were going, she and I got out of the car, and I was almost overwhelmed with just a vile, oppressive feeling outside me. But not wanting to make the lady uncomfortable, I didn't react too much to it. The wind was absolutely roaring, and unfortunately, we couldn't see any stars due to cloud cover. So I told her I was going to step to the side and use the restroom, and then we could get back to the hotel room. As soon as I get like 10 feet away, I get a very strange feeling of extreme vulnerability and detachment from everything around me, almost as though I'm miles away from the nearest person, though obviously I'm only a few feet from my fiance. I turned around to walk back to the car and I heard something off to my right. I immediately looked over to see something roughly human-sized transform into a coyote-sized being and kind of just hop over the log from about 200, maybe more feet away. I quickly got back into the car. My fiance looked at me strangely, still not trying to scare her or at least show her that I was scared, but she asked if I was all right, and my reaction was a dead giveaway. We jumped in and sped off. Never in my life have I experienced anything like this, and never in my life have I really had a reason to be made uncomfortable or just being outside, but I truly believe something unexplained was in those woods, and they were right there by us that night. I still to this day don't know what I saw. P. He saw a human-sized being transform into a coyote, like a skinwalker, right in front of him.
Dude, it always makes me wonder how often this happens that we just don't see.
Yeah, how many times do you see like a coyote and it's actually a skinwalker or something else, right?
Like I've never seen what they call like blue dogs, or they start trying to say is like, you know, this Texas chupacabra.
Right.
I've never seen them. Now, I've seen completely gnarly, mangy, hairless coyotes. Like I've seen a bunch of those.
I've never even seen that. I mean, I've just seen normal coyotes is all I've ever seen.
When we were in Seymour, I would guess the majority of the coyotes I would see, I'd say 90% of them had no hair on their tail, and from about right behind their shoulders all the way back, no hair. Like they had rubbed it off. And you know how it is when you see like wild dogs that have the old hair patches and it's like scabs on them. I'm like, they looked awful.
Yeah.
And then you would see one every now and again that was beautiful. Like it looked perfect, full, and like you would see in any kind of wildlife photo, like a beautiful coyote.
You can make a good coat out of pelts.
Yeah. I mean, it was one of those where you're like, this thing is beautiful. And now it's got me wondering, like, well, I wonder if it's the beautiful ones or like the fake ones. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how you pick them out. Like, oh, that one may not be real.
Do you think like a skinwalker who doesn't take good care of himself, when he transforms into whatever beast he manifests as, that it looks mangy and nasty because he's nasty in real life? Or do you think...
I think you could catch it. I think once you transform, you look like a perfect coyote if you're a skinwalker. But then when you're hanging out with the other coyotes, you know, and all this, what if you caught the mange? And then as you transform back, now you got like, man, now I got like the poison ivy. Now you just, you're itching. You're like, what happened? Man, I got the mange when I was out skinwalking the other night.
Yeah. And if you think you're like a beautiful man, you know, bodybuilder type, and when you transform, you'd be turned into those majestic forms of the wolf or whatever.
Yeah, I wouldn't turn into that. I would turn into like a one of those pot-bellied raccoons you see sitting under the feeder, just eating corn.
Pot-bellied pig.
Yeah, the one that's not even standing. The coon's literally just sitting there, just eating it. That's what I would probably skinwalk into. Speaking of something creepy.
Yeah.
I got you one. This comes from near Hillsboro, Ohio. Shiny, black, wide-eyed, quadrupedal creature.
Okay.
Yeah, get a load of this. It says, back in 2014, I came across something that I had never seen before. And still to this day, I have no idea what it was. This is two female friends were driving home near Hillsboro, Ohio, when they observed this thing exiting tall grass along a road. It says, I have no idea what it was. I remember that that day as if it were yesterday. It was summer and the evening was hot and sticky. My best friend Kim and I were on our way to Winchester, Ohio. She'd been dating a boy and they ended up breaking up a few days before. We were going to his house to exchange property and I was there to make sure everything went smoothly. After we did the exchange of property, we headed back to my town of Hillsboro. Winchester was like an hour or so away, and it was getting dark. We were on the back roads listening to music and just jamming out. I am assuming I was halfway home when we were coming up over a hill. Night had fallen, and on the left side of the car was very long grass, like super long, taller than I am. As we reached the top of the hill, we saw a black figure come out of this long grass, and at first we thought it was some random animal since we were in the middle of nowhere. But as we got closer, we realized that it wasn't. The figure was on all fours and crawled on its hands and knees. I know that if it stood up, it would have at least been 6'4" or even taller. When our headlights hit it, we got a better look, and it turned its head and looked at us. It was completely black and shiny, looking like this thing had been dipped in tar. Its eyes were round and milky white, and its mouth was full of sharp teeth. I remember my blood ran cold, and Kim asked me what that was, but I didn't know. She asked me what we should do, and I had a strange feeling that if we stopped the car, something bad was going to happen. So I told her to floor it, don't stop. And as we got closer, it turned around and went back into the long grass. And we haven't spoken about this since. Ever since I saw it, I've been trying to rack my brain to figure out what it was. I've done research and I've come up with nothing. And just thinking about it sends chills down my spine. Any idea what we saw, Jay?
Man,
I've never heard of anything like this.
Shiny black, but with like milky white eyes.
Said it would have been over 6 foot tall if it had stood up.
Yeah, 6'4", I think they said.
So it's a long, shiny, slug-like thing on all four. What is it?
I don't know.
First of all, what are you mistaking another creature for that? What do you misidentify that?
When it's shiny, I'm picturing like the xenomorph, how it always looks like it's wet, you know?
Yes.
Oh, man.
I'm thinking of like somebody put like a Rottweiler in like a latex suit.
Yeah.
Right? I'm like, what is that? But I mean, like, there's nothing. You can't. And the thing just nonchalantly goes back in the tall grass.
Yeah. I would get out of there and I would never go back.
Don't ever go back.
Never. Never. Where's you? Hillsboro, Ohio?
Ohio. Yes.
I've never been to
Winchester and Hillsboro, Ohio.
Man, well, that's another. I've never been to Ohio, and maybe I just won't go.
I don't think I'm going back. I've been up there that one time. I think I'm good. If y'all got stuff like that up there, the fishing looks great. But outside of that, bro, I'm good. I'm sure the deer hunting's amazing. But yeah, y'all got like xenomorphs walking around in the tall grass.
Yeah, I don't want any part of that. Let's take a break, and when we get back from the break, we're going to continue with some scary stories. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. Cam, check this out. This is one of my favorite type of sightings. It happens to be the Glimmer Man.
Yes!
It says, hello. I've been reading your post describing what you call the Glimmer Man. I had a very strange trail encounter with an invisible two-legged large thing while walking with my dog. Some of the trail sections have wooded areas alongside the walking paths. So, most of the trail was woods on one side of the path, and the park is on the other side of the trail. The wooded area is not very large. I would guess about 300 feet by half a mile or so. So, I don't consider it a forest. I just call it, well, the woods. I'm located in northeast Wisconsin near Sturgeon Bay. The wooded area of the park has three or four small creeks, and I think only one of the creeks has some water. Most of the trees are beautiful and normal, tall trees, and some of the trees here look like they are dead. There are always people and kids going down there to ride bikes, to hang out, and whatever else they choose to do. One day, around 4 p.m., I took my female dog, Jazz, for our normal everyday walk. We had just gotten out of the car and began our stroll. We were probably walking on the trail for about 5 minutes or so when I started feeling weird. Not scared, just strange. I felt weird. That's the only way I can describe it. I started to feel happy and my little pain aches had disappeared. This was very strange because I remember saying to myself inside my head, not out loud, I said, wow, I really do feel good. I feel like a little kid. I feel brand new. It was only about 20 seconds of this young and joyful feeling when all of a sudden something had let go of a large bush that it was holding onto. The thing sounded like it was intertwined in the bush, like holding on and trying to hide. At the same time as the noise in the brush, Jazz turned towards the brush and started going after it. I had Jazz on a leash, and she was dragging me, almost taking me into the woods. I had to hold her back because I couldn't see what was making all that noise. It moved through another tall bush and started stepping heavy with loud thumps. I think it fell when it made it out of the bush area. The thing was only about 15 feet away from us on the other side of the bushes and sounded like two very large horses stomping on the ground. I could see the bushes and the grass moving, but I couldn't see anything. We moved back from the trail a few feet or so, and I could see a clearing on the other side of the bushes, to try to see what this thing was. I looked right where the sounds of the steps were coming from, and I saw nothing. So I looked down at the ground, and I could see where their 2 feet were stomping and stepping on the tall grass. I remember saying to myself in my head, "No way. That is not an invisible monster." After I said that I heard something I will never forget, the thing started making loud T-Rex stomps. Then I said out loud, "That sounded like T-Rex from the movies." I recall I could feel the stomps on the ground, whatever this thing was. Jazz and I were looking into the woods towards the sound, but I could still see nothing. I could feel my eardrums shaking bad, and both eardrums felt like they busted whenever you listen to loud speakers. In my head, I said, "It's trying to blow my eardrums." The T-Rex stomps lasted for about 10 or 15 seconds. Then the sound stopped, and it just turned off like a light switch. I have no idea if it jumped into something or if it just vanished. It is strange because after all that, I still felt happy and no worry or fear at all, just very curious and confused. I really wanted to see it. On the way home, I remember thinking the other day I would have been afraid and ran away from it. I heard this thing 3 or 4 times in the following days in another section of the woods. I could hear someone heavily walking on leaves just inside the tree line about 30 feet away in the woods alongside me and Jazz. I would hear it, and I would stop without turning to it, and it would take a step or two, and then it would stop. I turned around a few times to see nothing because it wasn't moving. I did this a few times just to make sure. I would tell myself in my head, if a person stays on the trail, they have no permission to take you. I think one time I heard his steps in the woods next to me. I said to myself again, I think it wants me to make a mistake and go into the woods towards it. After I thought of that, I heard it again. I'm sure it can hear what I'm thinking. That's what I started thinking to myself. A few weeks ago, I saw something very strange related to this thing. Jazz and I were walking in the same part of the trail, only about 100 feet away from the first encounter where the bushes were. I stopped to look into the woods. I was standing still looking past the trees. The area was covered in a few inches of light green grass. I was looking kind of downhill at how the woods go down in and around the creek down there. I said to myself, it looks beautiful. The trees, the color of green, and the sunlight and shadows. It looks like a postcard. It's perfect. About 2 or 3 seconds after I thought that, while I was just looking down at this area of the woods, I saw a big human-shaped blur move between 2 trees about 80 feet away. I saw it for a split second. It was big, maybe 10 foot tall. It had a big head, big muscled shoulders, and I remember it had a big left leg. I remember its left knee and the big muscle above it. I could see the thick, shiny hair on the leg. Yes, this thing looked exactly like the Predator from the movie when it was cloaked. It was very weird how my brain was able to capture this image. My memory surprised me. Its shoulder, its head, and the side of its back were reflecting the woods between him and me. It looked like a male, not female. Of course, this is only my opinion. I think it took off running because I thought I was sensing that it was in this area, but I had no idea it was there. I think it knows Jazz can't pick up on him if he decides to hide a little farther away from the trail. I am very cautious when we go walking near the woods now. I also tell people, where I am going. I have no idea why this thing got so close to me or what its intentions were. I also don't know why it ran away from me those few times. Was there something or someone behind me that startled it? These occurrences were very incredible, an incredible time of my life. It changed me in a good way. I often think, I don't know, but maybe that's why dogs are on this planet, to help us pick up on those invisible things when they get too close. Always be happy and do things you love doing in your life. Have no worries and certainly no fear. I hope my story helps people to be alert and careful when they're out there in the woods. See. Wow. Well, first thing I'll say,
yikes,
if you're having multiple encounters,
yes,
and you're going and you're walking your dog and you think that this thing is trying to lure you in the woods, you might want to carry some kind of self-defense weapon. I mean, for me, it would be a pistol. For you, it might be just a knife. It might be mace, a taser, something. Because you're putting your life in jeopardy if there truly is a cloaked, you know, 7 foot tall alien trying to lure you in the woods. But what is it?
If the predator's really there.
Why are so many people having these sightings? That's what's so crazy to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
They all describe the same thing. And I like the fact that she was like, I don't know if it stepped into something. Now, what does that mean? Stepped into something. Does that mean like stepped into a portal? Does that mean stepped into an invisible craft?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. But I like the stories. And I can't wait to see the second season of Prey whenever that comes out.
Dude, I love the Glimmer Man is an amazing, just the whole thing. Because it's such a crazy mystery like that is what are they doing?
Yeah.
Why do they need to be invisible? Are they just watching?
And are they abducting people? Or like you're saying, are they truly just observing, just making observations? I mean, if you think about it, this planet, human beings, we are kind of strange. So like
100%.
It would be neat to watch us because we don't make sense. We're not rational.
Well, everybody out there loves to go places and say, I'm going to go just to go people watch. But then at some point in time, you're the people that's getting watched.
Right? I agree with you. The State Fair was a great place to people watch.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm sure they were staring at us too. Like everybody stares at everybody saying they're people watching. Maybe that's just people watching in the future. Like you want to go see something real strange. We'll send you back in time. You can be invisible. Yeah. Then you can really see them.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, if we've talked about it, if I had the ability to go somewhere like Sandbox VR, you could pay a fee and I could go back invisibly to like when the Mayans were around, I would like to do that. It would be interesting to watch.
Then you have to try to get away.
To see what the culture is really like. Because, like, or if I went to ancient Egypt, I have an idea what it looks like, but it's all based on stupid movies.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
You know what I mean? It probably in real life didn't look anything like it did in the movies.
Probably not near as cool.
You know, when you watch the Ten Commandments, you know, when I was a kid with Charlton Heston and stuff, like, I used to think that's what ancient Egypt looked like.
It's not?
I bet it didn't look like that. I mean, we have the leftovers, you know, we have the art and the
but you would go if you could be invisible.
I wonder how clean the town was, you know, or like go to Atlantis.
Yeah.
Moo, the lost island of Moo.
Machu Picchu when they're building it.
Right. Zealand.
Yeah. Just to go see something crazy. Non-Madal.
Yeah. And if you could go back in time and you're invisible, that would be awesome.
Yeah. I'd be down with that.
And also if it's an alien, you know, what better way to make, you know, cloak yourself like that?
I love it. I love the
whole thing. I like the idea of it, right?
I also like the idea of this. This comes from a place in Elliott Lake, Ontario. This is way back in the day. Get a load of this here. Kevin writes in, it says, my grandfather, a World War II veteran and born in Scotland, came to Canada with my great-grandparents and lived by Elliott Lake from about 2 years of age until paranormal activity played him and his large family when he was about 11 years of age. They moved to the Golden Mile region of Ontario, to Alliston. He, his four brothers, and his father used to pan for gold in various rivers and streams near Elliott Lake and that part of northern Ontario, known to be rich in other precious metals and gems, especially amethyst. Took them to Elliott Lake in search of many other minerals, stones, silver, and gold, various other times, whilst his family lived there. He recounted to me the first time of many paranormal experiences where he recalled an anomalous or paranormal experience during a week-long camping and gold panning excursion with his father, two of his brothers, and one of his sisters when he was about 9 years old.
That's cool, man. Yeah, I'd like to do some gold panning. Especially back in the day. Do you remember... There used to be a gold panning television show.
There used to be a whole channel set up for it. When you had the big...
The dredgers and everything.
The giant satellite dishes where you could see everything. Yeah, you could just watch. Now you go on YouTube and it's just endless stuff like that where they can pack them in. As much as we like the like those titanium folding stoves to make hot tents.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now they got those where you can pack them in and set them in the creeks and throw your stuff in there. And then, yeah, you dredge it all out like that.
Yeah, I saw these, you know, like these guys got these little tiny Honda generators and they're using like gas-powered sluice boxes that sit right up on the stream.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy.
Now you pack it all in. It sounds like that's what these guys were doing, but way back in the day.
Back in the day, that must have been awesome.
It says they had been there cooking fish, that the sister had done the fish catching, and they had made it over a campfire, and that the grandfather had a little memory of any experiences that preceded this memory, although he had overheard much discussion about them. It says, anyhow, as they waited to eat the sister's catches, all the fish, creepy screeching, howling, and then chattering sounds could be heard, almost as if close by, but emanating from somewhere within the forest that surrounded their campsite. He told me that they were sitting around on logs, as their father was quite strict, and although the three boys were talking loudly, the creepy unknown sounds quickly reduced the talk to nothing. And that his father, who had picked up his shotgun, had really instilled a deep sense of fear, to which they remained vigilantly silent and continued to listen in earnest. Due to the pending sense of danger, these strange sounds they had heard, coupled with their father's having picked up the shotgun, they all continued to listen in complete silence. The only other sound came from the popping and crackling of the burning wood in the campfire. At first, what they heard was screeching, and the boys thought nothing of it. But later, his older sister told him that she'd ask their father what that was. Once silence set in between the boys, it became obvious that this screeching sound did not sound like anything human. The growls and the chatter, at first sounding like monkeys, were more guttural and quite frightening. There had been some talk of ape men in the area during the 1930s, but not many would talk about it openly for fear of being labeled as delusional or crazy. Yet in whispers to one another, the boys speculated that these sounds were coming from an ape man. Then, after being hushed up again by their father, it sounded like the chatter was emanating from two or more unknown creatures, and within a short time, these sounds came closer to them. What truly frightened them was the screeches or screams, as if an unknown creature was injured or in pain or trouble. And the theory later on was that this creature was calling for help from one of its kind. These sounds came nearer and nearer. The screeching began to subside, and the chatter between these two or more creatures grew. Quietly but quickly, my grandfather's dad, after instructions to my great aunt to hide, and the boys snuffed out the fire, buried the fish, and grabbing only necessary items to carry on their backs, abandoned camp, grabbing Grandpa's sister, and hastily scrambled away from the approaching sounds. One of his brother's strings on his pack broke, and important tools were in this bag, so two of the brothers stopped to save what they could and placed them into the other brother's bag. My grandfather and his sisters were in front of their father, who was in the middle and guarding the boys as they saved this gear. The two boys were, of course, behind him and somewhat still exposed to the opening of the trees, and most near the lakefront, where their now abandoned camp stood. Suddenly, my great-grandfather hollered out, "Leave the gear and run!" Amongst other things that Grandpa said he'd not repeat. My great-aunt screamed, which distracted the two boys, in turn a fear-inducing howl, unlike anything any of them had ever heard before, came very loudly and very close by.
Wow.
My great-grandfather hollered, "There's four or five of them, and God help us!" My grandfather said that the two brothers left everything and the group ran whilst their father fired shots at one of them because the two ape men retreated. One was carrying a smaller one. One was running towards them, growling and shrieking aggressively. Fortunately, all five family members were unharmed and able to get away, to where I don't think Grandpa said. They only ever discussed this encounter amongst themselves but a couple of times, until many years had passed, and by the time my great-uncle George had brought it up with my grandfather and my great-uncle Gord, they'd all been married and started families, scattering about different areas of Ontario. Grandpa believes it was in 1949, before my mom and two of her older sisters were born. He and Grandma had only two of five of their children at the time. What prompted the discussion was a Bigfoot Sasquatch story in Dawson's Creek, BC, where my grandparents were about to move. From this time, or from the time this Bigfoot sighting of 3 to 5 of them happened in the 30s to the late 40s, many stories had been appearing in many newspapers, especially post-World War II. My grandfather was a closet Sasquatch researcher, amongst other areas of paranormal research, and collected any article he'd come across over those nearly 2 decades. Afterward, this open discussion about the experience the brothers had, Grandpa shared the research with George and Gord, and Sasquatch had a name, here in Canada. Throughout Grandpa's lifetime, preceding his childhood experiences on Elliott Lake, after this discussion in 1949, Grandpa began to write stories for newspapers in both Ontario and BC publications, most notably the Toronto Star. This was not his only paranormal experience, but it was one in which there were other witnesses. Grandpa had numerous paranormal experiences throughout his life, and Elliott Lake was the place where some of the more frightening but accepted experiences took place. He and his brother Gord saw UFOs there, but other anomalous creatures or entities were seen by him and others he knew as a child. I believe that everything Grandpa ever shared with the people who read his newspaper stories were true. He did not always mention that these stories were based on, if not 100% real life, but true accounts. He was very well read, and unfortunately, back in the 50s and 60s, a published story only paid an average of $200. His highest paid story was published in 1973, for which he was paid $1,000, but it was not a paranormal story. It was a comedy called Mother Drives, a nonfiction account of him trying to teach Grandma, a 4'11" Scotswoman, how to drive a huge Cadillac, boat as she called it. In short, I have no idea where these Bigfoot cryptids came from, be it underground, in caves, or possibly interdimensional, but I too think they are real. Also, there is some kind of tie-in with UFOs, and Elliott Lake is a popular destination for Bigfoot and Sasquatch hunters to date. His other paranormal experiences and publications are fascinating also. I've kept every original manuscript or writing he's ever written, whether published or not, and one day, in honor of him and his unpublished work especially, I plan to put together a book full of his stories. Thanks for reading, and I hope you have a great week ahead. God bless you and your family and your friends, too. Thanks.
Wow. I don't know what it is, but when you tell us Bigfoot story or Sasquatch sighting and it happened back in the 40s and stuff, it just seems more believable to me. I guess because of the explosion in the population now.
Well, I always think about it. It was prior to anyone knowing. It was kind of like the same thing with UFOs, right? Like when you start talking about prior to them being named flying saucers and all that, when people didn't know what they were, it's almost more believable. Mm-hmm. For me, too, in the same way, is like I just don't feel like they were affected by what we already know. Right. I mean, like, even if you didn't see a UFO clearly or a Bigfoot clearly, you know so much now that your mind would fill in the gaps without you even doing it.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and it would somewhat muddy up what you had seen. But something like that. And look, it's not like they got clear sightings and this is what they described. A lot of the old Bigfoot stories are more like this, of whatever these things are, running you away from where you're at, pushing you out of their territory.
Yeah, especially gold panning.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like there's a lot of sightings when people were
trying to get gold. I can't imagine the remoteness of Canada gold panning in the 30s and 40s.
Well, you know, if you go to the BFRO, Ontario is the second highest sighting province in Canada.
After seeing how beautiful it is up in there, I would be a Bigfoot up there for sure.
British Columbia has the most, of course, but Ontario is the second highest. So that's crazy.
That's awesome.
Because Ontario is like eastern side and British Columbia, of course, is out west. But British Columbia, I've been there and I totally get it. Ontario, I've never been to Toronto or anything, but I know it's all built up now. But like you said, in the 30s and the 40s, I bet it was really...
Yeah, could you imagine?
Really remote.
I mean, yeah. I can't imagine how I know how remote it is around here. Like we talk about it back in the 30s and 40s, you start getting up into there. I'm like, yeah, that's where if I was a Bigfoot, that's where I would live.
Yeah, man. Well, very cool. Speaking of cool, let's take a break, cool down for a second. Everybody go get them a drink of water and stuff. And when we get back, we'll pick up where we left off. Let's take a break. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Morgan Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. Wow. Cool, cool stories. I know from time to time on the show we have sightings of winged cryptids. You know, Lon Strickler really got us into that with the new second wave of Mothman sightings.
Oh, for sure.
Flying humanoids, whatever you want to talk about. And we've talked about this a few times, about a flying female being named La Lechuza.
Well, and speaking of Lon.
Yeah.
He's going to be joining us.
That's right. He's coming on the show this week.
We're getting him back on.
Yeah, this next week he's coming on.
We got to talk about more. Dude, he's got so many creepy stories to share. We had to reach out to Brother Lon, and he's coming on.
Yeah, no, he's got a lot of cool stories. He's probably the best. Albert Rosales used to be the best, but then the guy retired. So now it's Lon. Yeah. Lon Strickler is the best source for your cryptid. Your cryptid itch, to scratch your cryptid
itch. That's right, 100%.
Check this out. It says, I remember a story a woman told me, Cam, a long time ago.
Lay it on me.
This was back in the 1980s. Man, that was a long time ago.
No, it wasn't. Stop.
We worked for the federal government in a clerical capacity together. This coworker and I began talking about a weird experience one day, and she told me that her father had an encounter. And then the same thing happened to her. I have no reason to believe or disbelieve her, but she had always seemed to be of sound mind. She seemed very normal and had never seemed untrustworthy to me in any way. Her dad lived in San Antonio, Texas. Now, apparently, he drove back and forth to work in the evenings on a particular road out in the country, but very close to a highway. He came home one night and told the family that a flying figure the size of a human had followed him in his car for quite a while as he drove down the road. He saw it coming up behind him, and then it flew beside his driver's side window. He said when he looked at it, it looked human, but the eyes, they were different. They were very dark, and it had a frightening face. He described it as being dressed in a flowing, light-colored dress or robe, and he assumed it was a woman. Of course, he was frightened and out of his wits by all this, and he acknowledged that he knew he sounded crazy, but he swore that it happened. My coworker said at some point she was driving along with him in his car on the same road at night, and the same thing happened to them. She swore that she saw the same creature flying beside the car. It was on her father's side of the car, and its head was just at the level of her father's head, looking at them through the window. I remember she said she had screamed, and her father swerved the car. I don't remember anything else other than her saying that it absolutely was not a bird, and I have never forgotten that story. Rachel. So crazy, right? Like, I wish you would tell me the name of the road. Because so I would love to go down away there from and it. Drive down there. We can go down to San Antonio. We can hit the Riverwalk. We can get some Mexican food, Tex-Mex food, and then go drive down this county road and see if we can't get something to follow us. But what I like about the story and about so many of these stories is the person explaining it to them is like, look, I know it sounds crazy. I know it sounds crazy, but that's what I saw.
Yeah.
And imagine your father telling you that story. Of course, you're like, yeah, my dad's probably joking. And then you riding in the car and seeing it for yourself. I don't think it was a physical thing, you know, this woman, bat-winged creature. I think it's like a spirit.
I hope it's not.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's more like a spirit.
That I hope it's not a physical right? thing.
But cool story either way.
Heck yeah. Look, I got one that takes place in Idaho. Now talk another place where it could be rough country. And you get up in, dude, there's parts of that where you're like, there's no getting around up in there.
Yeah, your friend Rob lives up there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's beautiful.
I'd love to go.
Beautiful. The pictures he has of, oh, it's a beautiful spot. This took place in Shoshone, Idaho. Get a load of this. You're going to dig this. It says, I've had two unexplained sightings. Both sightings happened very close together. The first time was around the end of June in 2015, witnessed by myself and my girlfriend 30 miles east of Shoshone, Idaho, at my new home I just moved to in May. The old farmhouse had been vacant for a few years, surrounded by fields. The closest house was 5 miles away, and the closest town 30 miles in either direction. Dude, that place sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I was coming home at about 10 p.m. one evening, pulled off the main road onto a little dirt road leading to my house. At about 20 yards away from my headlights, I saw a skinny, dark, hairy creature on 2 feet and under 6 feet tall take a few steps towards the corral, put its right-hand limb on top of the corral fence, and go over the top, not jumping, not running, but with absolute ease doing it. My girlfriend and I freaked out, but what happened next was the chilling part. The corral or fence is neck or head high to me, and I'm about 6 foot tall. After it went over the top, it ducked below the fence and looked up, not once but twice, its eyes glowing about a foot apart. I parked the truck at a right angle with lights facing it. I ran 30 yards to get my gun and my spotlight. My girlfriend was still in the truck watching in fear it would just pop its head up again. I ran back thinking, don't shoot it. What if it's just someone playing games? I shot above the corrals, and after I fired, I could hear but not see something big moving further back through the other corrals. The next morning, I found the spot where it had stood looking over. Two perfect indents were in the weeds and a trail where it escaped off into the field. The second sighting was on June 7th of 2016, as it walked past my living room window seen by myself and my teenage daughter. It walked past the window at the same time, just past 10 p.m. I ran out within seconds with my shotgun and my spotlight. Nothing. This thing either has wings or it's invisible. I'm posting this in hopes of figuring out what I'm up against. I'm not after attention, nor do I want people thinking I'm crazy, but this thing is real. Gary.
Real scary.
Real scary.
Right?
Gary. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What was that?
So it almost sounds like it's one living there, right? Like we have a Sasquatch of some sort living there. But first of all, its eyes were 2 foot apart.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's go easy there, because that rolls me into this. Michigan's Upper Peninsula.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? This says this happened about 12 years ago to my uncle, and he's no longer with us. And I want to share his story. Growing up, I lived in Michigan's Upper Peninsula on 5,000 acres of farm and ranch land that backed up to state land. Nothing but miles of forest and pasture could be seen. Needless to say, it made us pretty tough, and it takes a lot to scare us. We were all avid hunters, fishermen, and outdoorsmen. Being the only girl, I was raised as a tomboy, and I'm just the same. My uncle went off to join the military, becoming a senior NCO in a prominent Special Forces division of the U.S. Navy. He's 6'4", built like a wrestler, and obviously skilled in survival tactics, and nothing rattled this man. He was home on leave and went out hunting as it was deer season. I remember him coming in the house, shaking and crying, saying that he saw something in the woods. My uncle never cried. He was tough as nails and would tear someone to shreds before he let them make him cry. My grandmother tried to get him to make sense, but he kept saying he saw Bigfoot mixed with a wolf. Now, my granny immediately got my grandfather, and he rounded up the rest of the guys hunting, my dad and a few male cousins, and my uncle, who was still terrified but went because he didn't want to be labeled as a chicken. Got all their shotguns and ammunition, saddled the horses, and go to clear the woods. Apparently, they were aware of the dog man, but I was blissfully young and ignorant. They told me to stay inside, and for no reason was I to step outside of our house until they returned. I had never heard my father or grandfather so serious, so I hid in my room. Sunset comes, and they still aren't back. I'm really worried at this point because they never stayed in the woods until after dark. So shortly I heard the sound of horses running to the barn and their voices. I was so relieved. They looked troubled when they came into the house, but they didn't say anything, probably not to scare me. At dinner, my dad laid down the law that I was no longer allowed to play outside or go to the barns alone. I had to have my grandfather with me at all times, and of course I was upset by this and felt my independence was being taken away, but I obeyed. The next morning, my dad and grandfather taught me how to shoot. That's how I knew it was serious. I overheard the adults talking the next night. Apparently, there were tracks where my uncle had his sighting, bigger than any wolf could make, but they were definitely dog tracks. Now, as I said before, we were all avid outdoorsmen and hunters, and we could identify tracks easily, but these couldn't be identified. About 8 foot up in the tree were claw marks. No Michigan bear could make those. We also found claw marks of about the same height on multiple trees throughout our property. There were cattle mutilated, not in the way a coyote or bear would, and it lasted that whole winter. We lost between 30 and 40 head of cattle that winter, all of them mutilated, all with the same wolf-dog tracks in the snow. I really feel like this experience changed my uncle. Who knows? He did multiple tours in the Middle East for Desert Storm and Operation Iraqi Freedom before he took his own life. After that experience, though, he was never the same. He went from not ever drinking to never seeing him without a bottle of Jack, and his eyes were always haunted. He changed his personality and never went out into the woods again. He quit hunting and eventually just quit coming home to visit or leave. He didn't even come home from my dad's funeral 2 years later. It was heartbreaking to see him deteriorate the way he did. I truly believe he saw something out there, and that's what ultimately killed him. B.
Man, see?
Something haunted this poor fellow. Sounds like he already had a bit of a haunted life, and then whatever he ran into.
Yeah, exactly.
What is that?
And there's a lot of, for whatever reason, there's a lot of dogman sightings in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. There's a lot in Wisconsin, too. I don't know what it is about those areas.
Up there.
So maybe there really is like werewolf living in that area. I don't know. But we had a listener write in. Oh, this was a couple of years ago. I remember. Remember that it was like a woman, and she used to go. They had a cabin, a family cabin up there in the Upper Peninsula. And her uncle come running in one day and like gathered up all his stuff and left.
Oh, yep, yep.
And was terrified of something he saw and was getting into an argument with her father saying, don't let the kids go out there. And then I think he was killed in a car wreck or a motorcycle accident, maybe. But
it's almost like they're harbingers, too.
Yeah.
Those things, man. But look, that's pure evil. We know those things don't exist.
They can't.
We know it's not a physical, like, those weren't species from the past.
No, I think it's a demon.
It's definitely something dark, yes.
Very, very cool. I like the stories of the dog man. I like the stories of all that creepy stuff. If you have any cool stories you'd like to share with Cam and I and the listeners,
hook us up.
Hook us up. You can email the show expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the show 888-393-BRUD. That's 888-393-2783. If you want more Expanded Perspectives and you want to help us out, don't forget about Patreon. You can download the Patreon app on any phone that you got. It's free. And then you can search up Expanded Perspectives and you can join us over there. We have two tiers. One's $5 a month. One's $10 a month. Choose the tier and it helps us out.
Hey.
Yeah.
What's Luke going for Halloween? Does he know yet?
He hasn't made up his mind yet. Nope. Hasn't made up his mind.
My granddaughter's made up her mind. What's your granddaughter going as?
A glowworm. Sorry, I couldn't think of it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Glowworm. That's right. Well, this is how I knew my granddaughter was a little bit different. She's going as Ursula.
Oh, okay.
She loves Ursula. So that's what she's going as.
Makes sense. Right. That's cool. Yeah, we're gonna be. We're actually gonna be out of town on Halloween.
Yes,
so
yes, we will. We will be making a surprise visit. That's all we're gonna.
You'll
say.
Know more after it happens, right?
Yeah, we'll be making a surprise visit. But yeah, that's what's going down for sure. It's gonna be weird, but
yeah,
it's one of those things. I know that you're gonna be heartbreak. You won't get your candy corn and your circus peanuts. We'll make sure to pick some up for you.
I'm sure they sell them up there too.
Garbage candy. Circus peanuts are garbage.
I don't like those things. Garbage. Remember the Chico sticks? Remember those things?
Yep.
They still make those?
Yeah, I like those. You know what? It was so when we were
it's
up
your
there,
flavor profile changes as you get older, right?
It does, 100%.
Like I used to love marshmallows as a kid. Peeps. I can't stand marshmallows.
Does your
now.
Brother still eat them?
He loves them.
Oh my God, I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he does it. So I'm sure everybody's got them in all their towns and in the places they visit, but we have this, there's like a little, I say a chain, there's like six of them between here and maybe Broken Bow, Oklahoma, where I saw the other one, but those candy stores where they have all these old school candies.
Yeah,
in them,
yeah.
Right? I forgot how good the 100 grand or the 1,000 grand or whatever it is, those old school candy bars. Yeah. Every now and again, it's fun to see those because, look, Kyle and I aren't candy guys, right? Like, we make jokes about all this stuff. We try it, but, like, there's not candy in our homes. No. We've never really been candy guys. The main reason is because our parents wouldn't allow it. Neither right. one of us yeah. is really allowed to have candy, so we grew up without having it. So every now and again, I have to go and find one of those because, like, my favorite candy is just a plain Hershey's chocolate bar. Like, that's it.
My favorite's Mr. Good Bar.
Hey, those are, that's the peanuts, right?
Yeah.
It's the Hershey's with peanuts.
Just Hershey bar with peanuts in it. That's it.
That's simple.
Sometimes simple is good enough, right? My wife gets the fanciest no matter what. We go to get a snow cone, it's got to be the fanciest. You go to an ice cream parlor, it's got to be the fanciest. I'm like, just give me chocolate. And she always makes fun of me.
Dude,
like,
that's my family makes fun of me. I get vanilla.
Yeah.
Or I get chocolate. And when I get a snow cone, I get grape.
Right. I like coconut when it comes to snow cone.
Hey, there you go.
But yeah, be right. Sometimes it's good already. You don't need to jazz it up.
Oh, folks, look, if you're in Parker County, if you ever get down to Weatherford, you've got to go to Pick. Our buddy Jason opened up his coffee shop, the one that was doing all the coffee roasting. We had all of his, he's got the coffee roasting going. He's got the coffee shop. Our buddy Joe is over there. All of them, swing in, see it. Dude, it is amazing coffee.
Yeah,
amazing cool. coffee. So if you're ever down around this way, you never know, you might find Kyle and I there because we like to frequent it too.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't like coffee, right?
Who doesn't like that kind of coffee?
Oh, man. I hope that everybody out there has a good week. That's about all the time we have for this episode. Till next time, folks, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.